morning, everyone. You're listening to The Life You Always Wanted, brought to you every Monday morning at 10 a.m. by the Springfield Marriage and Family Institute. I'm co-host Ken Boyce, along in studio with W.K. Boyce, the host and executive director of the Springfield Marriage and Family Institute. Good morning, W.K.
Good morning. It's good to be here this morning on this bright, sunshiny morning.
Morning, R.J.
Morning. Trying to get everybody to tell everybody that Billy Long ain't on no more. Ain't?
Oh,
yeah. Billy Long has left the building.
Elvis is gone. Thank you very much.
If you'd like to give us a call this morning, the number is 862-9977 or 1-800-375-0056 or *56 on your cell phone. Oh, this morning we're going to talk about love, going to talk about marriage, going to talk about fairy tale.
Romance.
Christmas is over. We're looking forward to a brand new year, 2008. And this is election year. I saw one of the cartoons in the paper this morning. And 2007, handed over to a brand new 2008, said, give him a helmet. Said, you better put this on. It's politics this year. So there's a lot of things going to happen in 2008. And this morning I'd like to, just for us all to think about, as we look forward to 2008, what kind of marriage we're going to have? What kind of marriage do you want? What kind of love do you want to have in your marriage? How do you really want to relate with each other? You know, those are some serious questions. And regardless of how we've done it all year in 2007, we got a brand new year to do it all over again, to do it even better.
And right now we're looking at how 2007 is winding down. We're looking at the results of what we've done. And we're taking a look at these New Year's resolutions.
Oh, the New Year's resolutions.
Oh, the infamous New Year's resolutions. The 1.5-week diets that we'll be on for the next 10 days. The all the rest of the resolutions. Everyone has their own particular one. As we look at the New Year's resolutions, though, and we look back at 2007, and we think, well, let's see, my stocks did this well this year. I invested a whole bunch of money in this one, and it went flat. I didn't invest in this one, and it took off. I look back at the vacation that we wanted to take, but we didn't get to take. I've been working extra long hours trying to keep everything afloat and get ready for Christmas. Now 2007 is over. What am I going to do in 2008? As we look at our resolutions, what are we going to invest our time in? What are we going to invest our money in? What are we going to invest our life in? And what are we going to make 2008? Hindsight's 2020. We can always look back behind us and go, this is what I didn't do right.
That's right.
What can I go forward with into 2008? We have a few suggestions.
Indeed we do. You know, there's a couple down in Scottsboro, Alabama, that celebrated their 80th wedding anniversary this year. Their names are Alonzo and Beulah Sims. They're a cotton farming couple down in Alabama. Been married 80 years. Got married when they were teenagers without their family's permission. They probably said it wouldn't work.
RJ's already going, shame, shame, shame.
No, you.
But they've been married 80 years. And they said that the reason they could live together for 80 years was that they were just too busy to fight. I guess when you're cotton farming, you're just too busy to fight.
You ever done it?
I have chopped cotton.
I have picked it by hand occasionally.
Yes. Yes.
Ain't no fun.
It's pretty back-breaking work. It's hard work. It is. But this couple celebrated 80 years. Can you imagine living with the same person for 80 years?
That's a catch-22 question. Can you imagine being successful and still having your marriage and being in love and having that relationship that you had way back when? Growing. And being nurtured and making it 80 years.
Yeah.
We look in a world, so many people don't make it 5 years, don't make it 7 years. Here's 80 years. You remember when 50 years was a big deal? Hitting 50, that was a golden anniversary.
Absolutely. And a lot of people didn't make it. It was almost remarkable that people lived together 50 years. We're married 50 years.
And now 75 years with a platinum.
Mm-hmm.
What is 80 years?
I don't know what
insane.
80 years.
RJ.
I just hope I make it 80 years, let alone with somebody else.
Oh, my goodness. And, you know, the age span in our country is growing. You know, there's over 10,000 people in our country today who are over 100 years old. And that number's growing every year. Number's growing every year. We are increasingly living in five generations of family. Things that our parents or grandparents had no idea of how to do. How do you live together for this 50 years or 75 years or 80 years? How do you do that?
There's got to be some secrets to life out there that a lot of us just don't know yet.
Well, I think there are. There's a lot of attitude in our country, especially I find with a lot of young people, young adults today, that college age and a little past college age, there's a bumper sticker that kind of describes their attitude about relationships, about marriage, about any kind of commitment. And the bumper sticker said, wanted, meaningful overnight relationship.
Yeah, that pretty much explains a lot of them.
Yeah, it does. To think that you will get married and that you'll live the rest of your life together. You know, that's in the vows. That's in the vows. To do that, to have and to hold from this day forward, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, to love and to cherish, till death do us part. Wow. How do people do that? And there's some secrets to doing that. Everyone that lives 50 years together or 75 years, celebrates their 80th anniversary, they're always asked, how did you do this? What did you do to do this? And, of course, all these couples give a lot of different answers. One couple I remember saying, we never went to bed angry with each other. Another couple said, we determined that we weren't going to fight, that we could have disagreements, but we weren't going to fight. No. And it seemed to work for those couples. For some couples, that's an impossibility, depending on how they were raised and how they learned how to communicate with each other. But the secrets of being married, the secrets of being married, and I know kids, especially little girls, grow up with fairy tales. How do they do that? They hear the story of Cinderella. They see all the Walt Disney fairy tales that have come out. And I can guarantee you that in the heart of every little girl, in the heart of every young woman, in the heart of every older woman, is a forever love, or a love ever after. In the heart of every woman, there's a love that is waiting to be given and to be explored, to be shared. Mm-hmm. And I think the real secrets of this, guys, is for us to tap into that. How do we tap into that love that we can share for a lifetime?
I think one of the greatest lines out of one of the recent movies was from the movie Hitch. Mm-hmm. And he said, gentlemen, she talks about, well, she's into her career, or this is not a really good time, or whatever. He says, gentlemen, no woman wakes up saying, I don't want to be swept off my feet today. No woman wakes up saying, I don't want to be swept off my feet.
Yeah, that's a great thought. Not only a great line, that's a great truth.
How do we do that? Men, it's up to us to nurture our wives. It's up to us to take some initiative here. We're talking about raising cotton. You don't raise a farm, just throw the seed out and forget about it. You have to tend to it. I don't care what you're doing, whether it's cotton, corn, tobacco, whatever crop you're going to grow. But why do we take so much time in developing other things, whether it's our cars, our computers, whatever, and we're not thinking about our wives? Part of this is us being able to help nurture this along, and we're going to give you a few secrets here. Because if the wives are happy, we're normally pretty happy, too.
Normally.
Normally.
Absolutely, yeah.
So how do we do this?
You know, fairy tales have become a real part of our image of what romance is supposed to be like. I talked about fairy tales. This image is not only, some people say it's deceptive. And I think as overall that we've become a really cynical or more cynical society, or a lot of our media has become very cynical about the possibility of love lasting for a lifetime. It just doesn't seem possible. And in their minds, perhaps it's because of how they were raised, perhaps it's because of what they saw in their families growing up. But a lot of outspoken people today, especially people that across the country in national media, are very cynical. I would use the term cynical about marriage lasting, that two people can commit to each other and really love one another their whole lifetime. That doesn't mean that they stay in that giddy first love. That's not what we're talking about. Now, although that's an important part of the beginning. But that two people can vow to one another, can covenant with one another, can commit to one another their life, and to share their life with one another for their entire lifetime until truly death parts them. You know, the cynics say fairy tales are deceptive. In fact, in one of the definitions of the term fairy tale in Webster's dictionary is a made-up story usually designed to mislead. But on the other hand, everyone knows that fairy tale romances, although they're make-believe, they inspire people to believe in happy love stories. For this fact alone, they have given us something we need for building our own love affair. They give us hope that it can last, that they can love happily ever after, that they can love ever after. I think just a lot of people have lost the hope. They've lost the ability to hope. And hope isn't a wish. Hope is a certainty. Hope is a certainty that this will last. And I think it's time to get that back in our society. I want to reclaim that, to say that love can last a lifetime, that love can last ever after, that marriage can last ever after. Now, the next time you read a fairy tale about a love, a long-lasting love, look to see the characteristics that form the foundation of that story. And what you'll find are characteristics that we have been talking about on this program for the past 6 or 8 months. And that is those core needs that we have, those core needs we have that God made us with, we're born with them, we live with them, and we go to our grave with them. And that is to be understood for who we are. Not for who people want us to be, but for who we really are. To be accepted unconditionally, to be accepted for who we are unconditionally, and to be valued more than the whole world by at least one other significant person in our life. And I think that's what fairy tales address. Looking for that unconditional love, wanting to be loved by someone, seeking understanding, looking to be accepted by another person. These stories show that life is happier with someone as opposed to being without someone. I was going over some of the statistics in the last census as looking and researching, and that is that there are more families in the country today than there are single people living alone. There are more family units in this country today than there are single people living alone. Now, is living alone bad? No, that's not bad. It's just that people are relational. Individuals, men and women, are relational. We are relational beings. We seek relationship to be loved and to love in the most intimate and powerful ways. And so, again, I want to reclaim the belief that love can last a lifetime. It will grow and it will change and it will mature, but it will last a lifetime. And I want to reclaim the belief that marriage can last a lifetime. You know, we all banter about and throw about this, well, one out of every two marriages end in divorce in this country. That's really not true. That's really not true. Only about one out of seven first marriages end in divorce. And the rest of those statistics are the fact that every time you divorce and remarry, the odds of you divorcing go up.
Mm. Yeah, we always hear 50% divorce rate, 50% divorce rate.
Yeah.
No matter whether you're Christian or not, just 50% divorce rate.
Yeah.
That's an interesting point.
Yeah. And because we're relational, because we want to be loved, because we want to be understood, accepted, and valued, and we want to understand and to accept and to value another person that has come into our life, someone that we eventually choose to live our life with. We want to be that way. We want to have that. And if that is the fairy tale, if that is the model, then so be it. But I believe within our Christian value system that God intended for love and marriage to last throughout a lifetime. That is the best way to live. That is the ultimate way to live and to truly love. You know, a lot of people grow up not knowing how to love. What is love? You know, one definition I heard of love is that love is a feeling you feel when you feel a feeling you never felt before. Let me go over that again.
Yes, please.
Love is a feeling you feel when you feel a feeling you've never felt before. That could be love. That could be indigestion. That could be anything.
So I hit my knee on the bedpost last night, walking around the corner of the bed.
Was that love?
It hurt. Is that love?
Sometimes love hurts. But that wasn't love. Let me share some things that love is. Love is being happy for the other person when they're happy. Being sad for the person when they're sad. Being together in good times and being together in those bad times. Love is being honest with yourself at all times. Being honest with the other person at all times. Telling, listening, respecting the truth, and never pretending. Love is an understanding so complete that you feel as if you are a part of the other person. Accepting the other person just as they are and not trying to change them to be something else. Not trying to create them in our image. Love is also the freedom to pursue our own desires while sharing our experiences with the other person. The growth of one individual alongside of and together with the growth of another individual. That's how intimacy is defined by one person, is that we are being ourselves in the presence of each other. Love is the excitement of planning things together, the excitement of doing things together. Love is the fury of the storm and the calm of the rainbow. One person said, I like that. Love is giving and taking in daily situations, being patient with each other's needs and desires. Love is knowing that the other person will always be with you regardless of what happens. Missing the other person when they're away, but remaining near and hard at all times. Love is the source of strength, the source of reality, the source of unity, the source of success, the source of the future, the source of passion, the source of sharing, the source of security. Love is the very source of life. Love that we share is about commitment. It's about giving ourselves to each other and being secure within each other's commitment. And being able to receive that love as well as to give that love.
If you're out there and you're thinking, WK, you're describing my marriage. This is what we grew up with. This is what my wife and I, or my husband and I, have. If you'd like to tell us, give us a call. Tell us on air. Call at 862-9977 or 1-800-375-0056 if you're outside the area or if you're listening online. We want to hear about this. I was running the stats a while ago, and that's kind of what I do. I like running numbers.
Mm-hmm.
But if one out of seven people on their first marriage succeed,
mm-hmm.
That's 85.7% of people who get married stay married.
For a lifetime.
For a lifetime. That's not talked about in the news. That's not celebrated. It's not talked about in our communities. It's not really talked about much in our churches. 85.7% of the people that get married for the first time stay married. That means that the remaining 15% that go through divorce have a cycle that needs to be broken. We need to change this. And we also need to change the perception.
Be.
And it can be.
Yes.
So how do we make this love ever after? How do we know this feeling. You're telling us stuff that this is what we really want. But WK, how do we do this?
Yeah, it's a good question. It takes a lot of work. It takes a love that lasts a lifetime, a day at a time. That's how it works. It's a love that is ever after, one day at a time. Now, we want ever after, and we want to believe that that's somehow more powerful than what we encounter through the day, or somehow our needs vanish on an everyday basis, and that's not the way it is. This ever after love is a day by day, every day, day in and day out, week in and week out, month in and month out, year in and year out kind of love. It's a very practical love. It is expressed in very practical ways. But at the very core is the sharing of self with each other and sharing of heart with each other and dreams and joys and sorrows, but going through all of these things together and learning how to grow together, how to not stay immature in your love. I think one of the reasons why people have become cynical about fairy tales, about a love that comes from a place where time has no meaning, is that people have the thought or the concept. You stay married for 50 years with the same kind of love that you had the first 6 months of marriage. And that's not real love. Okay? It's a love, rather, that matures. It's a love that allows the freedom of expressing more and more of who we are with one another and being understood and accepted and valued every day. It's a love that says, this is what I think and feel and need and want to expect and will accept and will not accept. And the other says, I hear that, but this is what I think and need and feel and want to expect and will accept and will not accept. And learning how to do that in ways that honor each other, that honor one another, that expresses honor toward one another. And what I mean by that, Gary Smalley, down here in Branson, I love the way that he expressed that one time. He said that honoring one another is when they walk into the room, your response is, I can't believe I'm married to someone like you. I can't believe I'm so privileged to be married to someone like you. And I appreciate with all of my heart that you would even consider being with me throughout my lifetime. It's just, you know, I love it when grandkids walk into the room and the first thing they say is, you're here. And you ought to see their faces light up. But I guarantee you guys, if you do that with your wife, the first couple of times, they'll probably faint. But they'll get used to it. If you go, and watch the expression on their face. Watch the expression. Watch their eyes light up. Watch the smile come across their face. Watch how receptive they are to you simply by expressing honor to them. Because that's what love is about. It's honoring. It's an honoring love that lasts a lifetime.
That's part of our marriage vows we take, to love, honor, and cherish. And we kind of skip through those. We could just kind of bounce across them trying to get to the honeymoon.
Yeah. Or get out to the reception where you have the newest first dance. That's all the rage today.
Well, we've seen some great ones online.
You know, and then get to the honeymoon. But those vows are important. Those vows that most people take are before God in the presence of a company witnessing those vows. And what it's saying is you're expressing to community, you're expressing to family, you're expressing to friends that you are committing yourselves to one another for a lifetime. Now, that's what the vows say. Now, whether or not that's what you intend, you need to, if you don't intend that, you need to let your spouse-to-be know that. Oh, by the way, I'm going to divorce you in 5 years or 7 years or 10 years, whatever it may be down the road. I'm just looking for a meaningful overnight relationship here. But if you're really committed, if you really are committing yourself to that, then mean it when you say the vows.
This morning we're discussing this love ever after. Now, we've all known couples that have been married 25, 40, 50, 75 years, and now, as this morning we learned, 80 years as of this morning for a couple in Alabama. We're going to continue to talk about this. We're going to learn the secrets. We're going to feed off of how do we do this in our own lives? How do we make these marriages go? While we take this quick break, think about that. How many people do you know that have been married 50 years, 40 years, whatever? Think about them. We'll be back.
And we're back. Ken has some very important news for you, very important announcement.
How many times do we say, we need to get away? This morning we're talking about this love ever after. And for those of us who have been married a while, how many times do we just think, you know, we need to get away. We need to have some of our own time. We need to get back in touch with each other. The work, the kids, all the extracurricular activities you got to take care of, events. Even the holidays have now gotten between us. We need our own time. This morning we're discussing love ever after. And to be in love for a lifetime, it's not just the stuff of fairy tales. Couples today can experience this love of a lifetime that is everlasting. We've all seen couples who've celebrated 50 years, even 75 years of marriage.
Couples today can still reach these heights of this perfect love. This is a love ever after. Isn't that what we want? We just need to get away. We need to rediscover that love. If this love ever after marriage, if this love ever after is what you've always wanted, come join us this Valentine's Day weekend. Gentlemen, this year go way beyond dinner and roses. February 15th and 16th at the Chateau on the Lake, Give Her the Fairy Tale. Join us there as we discover love ever after. This is a marriage excitement weekend getaway brought to you by the Springfield Marriage and Family Institute. W.K. Boyce will be speaking there. This is an incredible event. Friday night, Saturday morning, and Saturday evening at the Chateau on the Lake. This is a time for you to get away, to rediscover each other. Magnify that love. Magnify that intense passion. So this year, go beyond the dinner and roses. To register for the event, give us a call at 417-882-6767. That's 417-882-6767. If you'd like to register online, you can go to Springfield MFI for Marriage and Family Institute, SpringfieldMFI.com. The Love Ever After link is there. You'll see a small poster there on the right-hand side of the screen. Click on that. Get more details on this. Gentlemen, this is what we've been wanting. This year, make it a Valentine's Day to remember. Join us at the Chateau on the Lake, February 15th and 16th. Write it down.
And I might add also, ladies, this is a great way to surprise your husband. Take him for a fairy tale and come down to the Chateau and join us. And you make the reservation in case he hadn't heard about it. But it's a wonderful, wonderful event. It's a magical event if you've never spent a night at the Chateau on the Lake. It's like a castle in the clouds. It's right down on Table Rock Lake, and it's the only 4-star hotel in Branson. But it's a beautiful place. Your needs are met. It's a wonderful time. It's a breath into the life of your marriage. So share with him your love and that weekend. You know, marriage, as I said at the first part of the program, marriage is meant forever. It's meant for the lifetime. The way to really have a marriage is to be in it for the long haul, be in it for the rest of your life. Because there are things you'll experience after your 10 years of marriage that you couldn't experience during your first three. And the things you will experience in your 20 and 30 years of marriage that you couldn't have experienced in the first 10. And the things that you will experience in your 40th and 50th year of marriage and 60th, 70th, and even 80th year of marriage together that you cannot even imagine. The depth and the quality and the intimacy and the beauty of that love together. Now, after 80 years of marriage, it's not like the first 6 months of marriage. It's better. It's better. It can be better. But so many people bail on their commitment. They shortchange the beauty and the strength and the longevity of a love that they could have together by not determining to be married the rest of their lives. I often tell couples, every morning you wake up, you don't decide to be married. You are married. What I tell couples is that you decide how you're going to express your love in this marriage today. Today, you'll decide how you're going to express your love in this marriage. As I said, marriage is for a lifetime. Marriage is a commitment that can have tremendous number of advantages like stability and financial strength and unity and infinite trust. Marriage means that everything is shared. Sharing means that every major decision involves a team decision. Both parties do not agree, then conflict arises. Most people enjoy having a certain amount of freedom in their lives and the ability to give their input into those major decisions. Most couples I work with in counseling, in marital counseling, at some point or another, someone is taking control of the marriage and trying to run the marriage the way that they want it. And the other one doesn't like that. It's not a shared effort. It's not a shared love. It's not shared decision making. Someone has kind of hijacked the marriage, and the other doesn't appreciate that. I think we understand why. But marriage also involves being with the same person for long periods of time. for long periods of time. Someone once said, imagine living in an RV with your best friend for 10 years. After a while, even your best friend can become annoying. And countering that effect requires skill and creativity. Learning how to be married, learning how to love each other, learning how to share with each other, to communicate with one another, is vitally important if you're going to stay married for the rest of your life. I know couples who have been married 50 years and have a 50-year marriage. In comparison to that, I know other couples who have been married 50 years, but have been married in their first year 50 times, and their love never matures. And they find it harder and harder to express their love to each other because they still are going for the first 6 months of marriage love. And that is a beautiful love, but it's necessary to grow and to mature that love throughout their lifetime.
I've said it many times before that love is like an amplifier. It amplifies what's in our lives. If our lives are going well, everything seems well. The marriage seems fantastic. But where we struggle is when things aren't necessarily going well, where we have those bumps in the road, and it seems to become more of a burden. But marriage is something that we take a commitment to do every day and to nurture every day. Gentlemen, as we get back to the farming analogy, you're going to plow, you're going to hit a few rocks. It's going to happen. Missouri's full of fieldstone. RG's over here shaking his head. But we have to till, we have to nurture, we have to enrich the other. We have to enrich this love. We have to take initiative personally, one-on-one. And this is what we're talking about. We can have this love ever after. This is not just a fairy tale. There are secrets to it. And we've all seen people who have lived it. I was sitting here going through some of the people I could think of on top of my mind. I looked at their marriage. I've heard other people talk about their marriage. And some of them are very famous. Talk about Johnny and June Carter Cash.
Oh, yeah.
Their romance in Nashville is well known. I was reading a book about Ron and Nancy Reagan. If you haven't had a chance to study the Reagans, they've put out a lot of material. And one of them was the letters that Ron had written to Nancy. Nancy put it out just a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Ron was never whole without Nancy. There was always something missing. When she wasn't able to go with him on his trips, when he didn't get to make it home the same night, he longed for her. And he would write it. He would pen out notes on hotel stationery. He would send her telegrams. He just wasn't the same without her. Every time he walked into the room, he gave her that aha moment.
Mm-hmm.
That, wow, you now complete me. I'm thinking of a couple that we worshiped with here in Springfield, Dor and Lucy Luna. They were married over 75 years. Over 75 years of marriage. Cutest couple in the world. But they weren't famous. They weren't well known by all. Everyone who walked through the door at East Sunshine knew them because Dor would stand there and shake everyone's hand that came through. But they made it 75 years. I think about Beth over at Cox Hospital South. If you have a chance to go into the cafeteria there, for hospital food, it's not bad. It's actually pretty good
it's
at Cox South.
It is, yeah.
But the ladies behind the counter there at the cafeteria are wonderful ladies. But one down there, talking about living five generations, she has great-great-grandchildren. She has five generations that she sees. And it's incredible to see the spark in her eye and the fire in her life. I thought she was in her mid-60s. She goes, I'm over 80. How in the world? Because she discovered the secret. So how do we get these secrets? How do we discover these people? How do we learn from them? I think of George Simmons and his wife down in Cisco, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
John Edwards here in Springfield, Missouri, and his wife. I think of Jack and Zeola Fogarty. A couple of friends of mine that have now since passed on. But they had that special love, that spark that when they walked in the room together, you couldn't help but notice. We can have that. That's what marriage is supposed to be. This is the life we always wanted. And it's our choice. We can have it.
There's a lady I know by the name of Carol Bonnard. She wrote a poem and brought it to me and said I could share this. Beautiful expression of love. And I wanted to share it with our listeners this morning. And it's entitled, Perhaps We Can. Perhaps we can let God be first in our lives, enjoying his richest blessings. Give ourselves to each other, needing no one more. secure within each other's embrace, be completely ourselves, understanding yet overlooking the other's weakness. Share our problems. Reason with love if the other is wrong. In our need for other friends, have no guilt or jealousy. Perhaps we can allow each other freedom to take on a challenge and grow. Encouraging one another, being all that we can. If we stray in the wrong direction, hold to one another. Bending, not letting go. If we have the strength to stand, be friends till the end. Affectionate throughout our lives. Fulfilling each other's needs together. Perhaps we can. That's a thought that I've used in many wedding ceremonies. As I read it to couples in premarital counseling, they say, we want to use that in our ceremony. And it becomes a part of their vows. It becomes a part of what's meaningful to them. Because it expresses that with God's blessing and His help, that they will remain committed to one another throughout their entire lifetime. And it's a process of adjustment. It's a process of communication. It's a process of meeting each other's needs every day.
This love ever after is within reach. I know so many times it seems like it's not. We're on the dating scene. It seems like there's no one out there. We're all the good people. We're all the people that we are looking for. Sometimes we just have to be able to open our eyes. We're looking for people who trust, that have loyalty and commitment, that are helpful, that are friends. Looking for people who are kind, patient, understanding, that accept us for who we are. Now, the other thing is, we have to be willing to do that for someone else. And we have to open our eyes. This is the life you've always wanted. Isn't it the life we always wanted?
This is the life that I want. This is the life that people tell me that they want. They come in and say, this is what I want in my life. And Ken and I are sharing with you how to achieve this in your life and an opportunity that you have in your life to learn some more about this.
If you need that getaway time, if you want to learn the secrets of an ever-after marriage, join us February 15th and 16th at the Chateau on the Lake. Go to springfieldmfi.com. Click on the link there. You can register online. Come get away. Enjoy it. Discover the secrets. This is something we do every day at the Springfield Marriage and Family Institute. We help people explore this, to pull out, to just nurture and get the most out of this life. If these are things that you want, you take the action. Make the call, 882-6767. It's your life.
It's your choice. Make it a great one.